So we've been talking about strengthening your heart, and one of the things that the Bible says will strengthen us, we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We're overcomers because of the testimony of who Jesus is in our life. And yesterday I had the privilege to meet with Bud and Carol. And Bud wanted to share his testimony with me. And the reason why he wanted to share it with me is because he knew that he would not be able to get through it if he had to if he shared it himself. And this might come to a surprise to you. It actually came to a surprise to me. But since December, Bud was not feeling well at all. And he went in for some surgeries, and they found some tumors. And they did some stuff with his prostate. The tumor wasn't cancerous or anything. But he was never recovering from all of that. And he was in extreme pain, getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And Bud wants to tell you, this is where the point where Bud was. Bud was ready to say, I give up. It entered his head, I'm going to die. 5 days ago, Bud was on his deathbed. And Bud wants to let you know, he wrote it down and he wants to know, he's not among the dead, he's among the living. Amen. And Bud was in his bed, and I believe he was sitting on the edge of his, he got up and sat on the edge of the bed, and he was praying, and he was asking God, why? Why aren't you healing me? Why aren't you healing me? And he said, a vision came up of a hand, and the hand pointed to a corner. And he said, in the corner, there was an image of a person, a shadow, and it just came into his spirit that was Jesus. And he said that God spoke to him and said, stop asking for me to heal you. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. And he said, from that point, all of a sudden, a window appeared. It was darkened. It was like a picture frame window. And he said, the window was on the other side of the window was a hurricane, a tornado, just chaos. He said that there was lumber flying around all over the place. And he said, all of a sudden, a pair of shoes came up in front of the window. And then they flew off. And he said, hey, that's my shoes. I have no idea what all that means. I don't know what the shoes mean. Some people have said that they feel that, like, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes, for this is holy, holy ground. But I do know that the storm was on the outside, and Bud was on the inside. And as soon as that all quit, Bud had life come back into him again. 5 days ago, he was on his deathbed. And today he walks in here a healed man. Amen. I just want you to know that this is a living. I shared this with Bud and Carol yesterday, that they don't realize the testimony that they are. And in all of you, all of you that we would call silver-haired saints, you're a testimony. You know, in the Old Testament, every time God would do something in the lives of the children of Israel, he'd have them build a monument, pile up stones. And every time, and I told Bud and Carol this, every time they walk through those doors, their living stones come in here piling up to the goodness of God. You guys have been married how long? 61 years. Don't tell me doing marriage God's way doesn't work. I'm sure you've had issues. I'm sure you had troubles. See, we're doing some marriage counseling. This is going to be a long Sunday. We're doing some marriage counseling right now with some folks, and or not counseling, premarital counseling. And one of the first things that we talked about is the difference between having a Christ-centered marriage and a Christian marriage. There's a big difference of having your marriage centered on Christ and just say, oh yeah, we're Christians. Christ-centered is that is the center of your marriage. A Christian marriage is just a title that we put over our door. You guys are living stones. All of our elders in here, you are living stones. You are a testimony of the goodness of God. You're a testimony of persevering and fighting the good fight of faith. And we love you. I don't think you realize just you coming into this place is a testimony to the kids. When they see the whole world falling apart, but they say, well, Bud and Carol did it. And I strongly recommend, this is about getting out of your comfort zone. If you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling in business, if you're struggling in different things, get the wisdom from those that are around us. Ask them to mentor you. Take them out and buy them dinner and say, teach me, oh Jedi Knight. Teach me your ways. How did you get through this? I'm telling you, the cost of dinner is well worth the knowledge that you're going to get from these people. But you have to go prepared. Have your questions. They're a blessing in here. And we're glad to see that Bud is going to live long and strong and be a vital piece in this body. Amen. And I want you to know right now that God is no respecter of persons. And I don't know the whole vision that Bud had. I asked God, if you want me to explain it, I'll explain it, but you're going to have to tell me what it means. He never told me what it means. But that's Bud's experience. That's his testimony. But his experience and his testimony is his. But his God and God, the promises of God that he has is yours. The same Jesus that bore his sicknesses and carried his diseases, the same Jesus that held back the storm, that's your God. And your testimony and your experience might be different, but put your hope in that God. Sorry, Bud, you're going to have to talk a little bit. You need to talk to Bud to hear where he was physically. It was bad. I mean, it's tough to visualize how bad you were when you look so good right now. Amen. 5 days ago. Amen. And the doctors came back with, you had some tests run, and they all came back negative, which means positive. Right? I never understood that. So, amen. God is good. So, testimonies strengthen our heart. It encourages us. It gives us hope. And when we have hope, then we can put our faith into the one that our hope is in. Amen? Amen. So if you haven't been listening to the messages leading up to this one, I strongly recommend that you grab them. You can listen to them online or get the CDs in back. They're free. But we've been talking about having a strong heart. A strong heart. And a heart of an individual is what? It's the core of an individual. It's the inward man. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. And we do all sorts of things to strengthen the outward man, the body. But we can do things to strengthen the inward man. And the inward man, the Bible says, the wisdom that's in the Bible says, it's more important to strengthen the inward man than the outward man. And we've seen that there's two areas, just like in building the body, there's two areas that the body says we need to strengthen, that we need to do to strengthen our heart. And the first one was spiritual food. And we're going to go a little deeper on that today. But spiritual food. And the next one is exercise, spiritual exercise. Do you know how to exercise spiritually? Do you know what spiritual food is? And last week we seen that spiritual food is what? The Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual food. It's spiritual nourishment. And we found out that the spiritual food that we are to eat is supposed to be filled with grace and faith. Because you can preach the Word of God and not have it in grace, and you can not have it in faith. It can be filled with condemnation. It can be filled with religion. It can be just cotton candy and just positive thinking. It has to be filled with grace, what God has done through the work of Jesus Christ, and faith, what we do to appropriate what he has done in Jesus, what we believe about that finished work for ourselves. In Mark chapter 7, verse 14, this is good. This is Jesus talking. What was happening was the Pharisees were getting upset because the disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate. And Jesus started talking to them. You think that you are defiled because of what's on the outside. You think that if we don't wash the cups before we drink, or we don't wash the bowl before we eat, or if we don't wash our hands, that I'm going to be defiled by what I eat. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus, called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and try to understand. Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can make him unclean. It's what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. Let the person who has ears listen." Do we have ears this morning? He's not talking about these. He's talking about on the inside. Are you listening this morning? Verse 17, when he had left the people and had gone home, his disciples asked him about this illustration. Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand? Don't you know that whatever goes into a person from the outside can't make him unclean? It doesn't go into his thoughts, but into his stomach, and then into the toilet." By saying this, Jesus declared that all foods are acceptable. Verse 20, he continued, "No, it's what comes from within that corrupts. It's what grows out of the heart of people that leads to corruption. Evil thoughts, immoral sex, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wicked acts, treachery, sensuality, jealousy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these come from within, and these are sins that truly corrupt a person." Jesus says, don't be so concerned about what you eat, because this is religious things that were happening. They actually thought that you were defiled, and it was a sin to eat with unclean hands, without washing your hands. And there's lots of things in today's Christianity, in today's religion, that they make you think that you need to do in order to be right with God. And Jesus says, the problem isn't from the outside. The problem is within. You need a heart change. From within the heart comes all of sin. I mean, envy. Have you ever been envious of someone? That's a heart problem. Jealousy. You ever have a lustful thought? You ever have a moral thought? Jesus says that if you say to someone that you hate them, have you ever said to a political candidate, "I hate that person"? He says you've killed them in your heart. You've murdered them. We have an issue with our heart. The heart is the issue. We spent 10 weeks on how to raise your kids in the gospel. And if you haven't understood this yet, it's all to do with their heart. You're battling for your kids' heart. Their heart is the most important thing. But still, we as Christians, we think that we're more concerned about what's in our kids' cornflakes than what's in our kids' heart. We spend more time worrying about what our kids are eating than what's in our kids' heart. I'm not saying that you throw out the natural, but it's not the most important thing. The heart is the most important thing. How our kids react to, when they're at school, how they react to other people. If they're full of pride, if they're arrogant, if they're a bully, if they're mean, if they're angry. These are all conditions of the heart. How your kids act when they get bullied. Because they will get bullied. All kids will get bullied. The bully gets bullied by his dad. You will get bullied. If you're a Christian, you will get, Jesus says, you will be persecuted. You will get bullied. But what do we do in our heart when that happens? Do we act in love? Do we allow fear to come into us? Or do we trust, have our kids trust in God? Do we bring all of a sudden resentment in our hearts towards the person that is causing us discomfort? It's all heart conditions. It's all heart conditions. Look what Hebrews says. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says, concerning him, and this is, we covered this 2 weeks ago. He's talking about Melchizedek and Jesus and the similarities between Melchizedek and Jesus. And he says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So get the teaching on this. I can't go through all this anymore. He's saying that we should be, there comes a time when you should be a teacher on the things of God, not someone that needs to be taught the simple truths, the oracles of God. And the reason why is because they become dull. They have become dull of hearing. You're going to want to come in the next couple weeks, because we received a great revelation on how do you know. I'm not going to tell you now. I'm going to throw it out there. How do you know if you are believing with your head or you're believing with the heart? How do you know if, when you say that you have faith, if are you believing with your head or are you believing with your heart, with the spirit, the inward man? We're going to find that out in this teaching. He says that they're on milk. They're not on solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained in to discern good and evil. So he's saying that there comes a time as you're eating and you're partaking of the words of righteousness, that you start to mature, you start to grow up, you start to practice, you start to walk out the things of God. And it will get to a place where you have trained yourself to know what is the gospel of Jesus Christ and what is not. What is good and what is evil. The writer here compares discernment in connection with eating. Did you notice that? He's to discern the word of God, discern righteousness, discern the things of God. He says it's just like eating. Or you could say the ability to taste and know what you're eating. Because there are some things that people say is the word of God that you shouldn't eat. Look at what Job says. In Job 34:3, it says, the ear tests words like the tongue tastes food. The ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. The ear tests, or it tastes, or it distinguishes words as the mouth tastes or distinguishes food. You can test food. You can see if it's good or you see if it's bad by tasting it. And some of you have gotten to the point where you don't have to taste it to know it's bad. You can smell and you know it's bad. Right? I mean, but infants, babies are not that way. They're not discerning at all. They'll put anything in their mouth. They'll put your shoe in their mouth. They'll eat anything. And here's a video to prove. I got this from your parents. This is a video of you when you were younger. There's nothing better than a good old handful of black dirt, is there? Just eating dirt. Going out and get a spoon and just start eating dirt. Kids don't know, babies don't know that they're not supposed to eat dirt. But they'll put a grasshopper in their mouth, June bug. They'll eat anything. That's why you got to lock up the closets, the cabinets underneath the sink. Because one of the terrible things, one of the tragic things about infants and putting anything in their mouth, that thousands of them are poisoned. Thousands of them die because of not discerning what to put in their mouth and what not to put in their mouth. They can put deadly things in their mouth. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the same thing is true spiritually. The same thing is true spiritually. And when I talk about the same thing is true spiritually, I'm not just talking about, even though it includes it, I'm not talking about spiritual teaching. You are a spirit. And everything you consume into your inner man, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, you're consuming and feeding the inner man. And it's either going to strengthen your inner man in the spirit, or you could be killing yourself slowly by poisoning your inner man. So you have an enemy. You have an enemy, and you can be poisoned spiritually. You have an enemy, the devil, and he is committed, where your spiritual diet is concerned, to either starve you or poison you. The first thing that he wants to do, if he can, he will starve you. He'll get it so you do not eat spiritual food. He'll get it so you, the word of God is not something that you consume. Teaching is not something you consume. Reading spiritual books is not something you consume. Listening to spiritual music and uplifting music and positive music that glorifies God is not something you consume. He will starve you from that. He'll starve you from the voice of God. We talked about this in the cafe this morning. We talked about how sometimes life is just noise. We have the I was that way before I came back into the kingdom. I could not do anything without the radio on. I couldn't drive without the radio on. I couldn't work without the radio on. I couldn't. And we'll talk about this in the coming teaching. But I needed noise, because if it ever got quiet, then I would hear. I would hear, you know, look at you. This isn't who you are. My inward spirit would start talking to me. Because from a young kid, I was raised in the church. I knew better. I knew the word. And I knew that there was a better way, and that I was on the road to destruction. Even though on the outside it looked like he's got it all together. So I had to drown out the voice of God. I had to drown out the voice of my own spirit that was crying out. It was starving. It was starving to death. It was trying to save me from committing suicide. And I'm not talking about ending my own life. I'm talking about the life that you live is suicide, because it leads to death. But if he can't starve you, if the devil can't starve you, then he'll try to poison you. He'll try to poison you, and he'll try to poison you with religion. He'll try to poison you with condemnation. He'll try to poison you with a to-do list and to live up to your righteousness rather than Christ's righteousness. He'll poison you by eliminate the grace and faith of the gospel. And the Hebrew writer is telling us you can develop your spiritual senses, your tastes, where you can discern good and evil. You need to mature yourself so when you can discern both good and evil. See, infants will eat food that's bad, right? They'll just chug it down. Glass of milk, curdled, filled with clumps. But a mature person just gets to their nose and says, oh, this is bad. Or if they do get it in their mouth, what do? They run to the sink, spit it out. They don't swallow it down. They don't swallow it down. See, that's why infants need parents. Infants need parents to help them. And that's why Jesus placed in the church spiritual leaders to help them. To help them. And there are things out there. I mean, there's teachings out there. There's Christians now that say, well, Jesus, they call themselves Christians, but they say, you know, Jesus is just one of many ways to God. There's many ways of knowing God. God loves everyone, yeah. That's why he sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. You think God would really only have one way to know him? Come on. God's bigger than that. Listen. If you want to know God, you have to know him through Jesus. Why, Chad? Why do... See, you guys are acting like you don't know. Why if you want to know God, you have to know him through Jesus? Why? Because he's God. Jesus is God. I'm sorry. Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is God. And the only way, if you want to know God, you got to know him through Jesus. He's not a prophet. He's not a good teacher. He's not a wise guru. He is God. And if you want to know God, you have to know Jesus. Because he's God. Do you see how elementary that is? When someone says, well, there's many ways to God. How can there be when there's only one God? There might be many ways to your God, but if you want the true and living God, there's only one way. If you want to know God intimately and to see what his attributes like and who he is, look to Jesus because he is God. He's the only one that claimed to be God. He's the only one that you go to his tomb and it's empty. You can go to Muhammad's tomb, you go to Gandhi's tomb, you can go to Buddha's tomb. You go to Christ's tomb and it's empty. Jesus is God. But there's teachings out there that sound good. They sound good. They sound as good as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yum, yum. But it's not life. It's not in the grace of God and the faith of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ. You need good teachers. In this small group, we've had people get into bad teaching and leave the church. And to see the fruit of their life after, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. How do you know if it's good teaching? It has grace and it has faith. It has what God has done in Jesus Christ and your response to what he has done in Jesus Christ. It's grace and faith. If it's you, works, it's not grace and faith. If it's what you must do to get God to move, it's not grace and faith. It's about grace and faith and grace in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the God-man, Jesus. If you ever hear me teach anything and it's not grace and faith and it's not in the finished work of Jesus Christ, spit it out. Run to the sink. You got some spoiled milk. A good cook can discern what's in the dish. We talked about this a little bit. You know, a good cook, he can just eat a dish that's prepared and sat before him, and he can say, oh, that has some Star of the East in it, or that has clove in it, or there's a little bit of saffron in there. I can taste it. He can discern what he's eating because he's trained himself to discern. And they're saying that you can do that with the things of God. You can discern what is the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ and what is just dead man's works. You can train yourself. The Hebrew writer says that there comes a time when you need to be able to discern good and evil on your own. On your own. But we feed on words. We feed on words. And the best words to feed on are God's words. The Word of God is the most important thing to eat. See, words are nothing more than groups of letters. And by themselves, they don't mean anything. But if you align the letters in a group and it spells D-O-G, all of a sudden it becomes something. If you did not know that D-O-G spelled dog, then it would mean nothing to you, right? So words are containers that carry thoughts. And the Word of God is a container that carries what? God's thoughts. The Word of God contains God's thoughts about humanity, about you, about your future, about life, about what is truly freedom. When I say the word life, there are thoughts that come into you. Some of you have different thoughts than other people are having right now. When I say God, some of you have different thoughts than other people. Some people are thinking that he's sitting up on a throne with a big old lightning bolt waiting for you to get out of line. He's got a great big gray beard. And he's grumpy all the time. Some of you, when I say God, you picture sitting on a loving father's lap. Words are containers. When I say Jesus, there's a thought that comes. When I say the Holy Spirit, for some people, when they hear Holy Spirit, all of a sudden fear comes in. Because the Holy Spirit does one or two things for most people. He either tells me how bad I am, which is a lie, or he'll make me do something goofy that I don't want to do. You need God's thoughts on these things. You need to know what the Word of God teaches on these things. Freedom. Some of us have thoughts about freedom. Freedom is, woo, I can do anything I want. Others think freedom is something that I am free to do anything I want. I'm free to choose to live God's way. I am free to put myself under authority. Money. Well, I just cursed. Sorry, guys. Because we talk about it all week long. We can't say it in church. Money. When I say the word money, especially in church, you have thoughts that come into your head. And God has thoughts about your money. And I'll let you in a little secret. He wants you to have it. He's not trying to take it from you. He wants you to have it. But we don't want God's thoughts on money because we don't know the truth about what he thinks about money. You feed on thoughts. Can you see that? Can you see that your inner man, your heart, feeds on thoughts? And God's words contain his thoughts, and they are spiritual food for you. They're spiritual food for you. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks within himself," so where is he thinking? Within himself. So is he. As a man thinks within him, so is he. The way that you think inside of you is the way that you're going to be. And you might be able to put on a mask for a little bit, but sooner or later, the real you comes out. That's why most pastors don't last at churches more than 3 to 5 years. Because sooner or later, the real pastor comes out, the real person. And they start arguing and fighting, and well, I'm just going to go take my messages and go to the next church. Do you know when marriages, usually most divorces start happening in marriages? First 5 years. Why? Because by that time, the real you has finally come out. The next highest divorce rate is 18, 20 years. And why would that be? It's because the real you comes out. Because you spent all that time in between those years focused on the kids so much that when it gets to there, you're left empty nesters. You're left with the person that you don't know, and the person that you find out that they are, you don't like them. Whatever is in your heart, the way that you think in your heart is the way that you are. Is the way that you are. Have you ever heard the saying before? And I know you have. Have you heard the saying that says, you are what you eat? You are what you eat. Well, it's the same with our heart. It's the same thing with our inner man. It is what it eats. It is what it eats. That's why it's so important to discern if what you are eating is good or not. Because not everything is good. Not all thoughts are good. If you get something bad in your mouth, you spit it out. See, Bible teachers, as you grow in God, you're going to find teachers that you love. You're going to find preachers. You're going to find teachers. You're going to find people that write books and have series that change your life. They change your life. But if you start idolizing the preacher more than the gospel, there are preachers and teachers that I have gotten great biblical wisdom from. But I'm not afraid when they teach something to say, to spit it out, if it's not grace, faith, and Jesus. Some of us just swallow the whole thing down just because a certain prophet or a certain teacher or a certain person said so and so. No, you need to learn to eat the meat and spit out the fat. Some fat's good. No. But you know what I'm saying. Eat the cherry and spit out the pit. Eat the hay, the straw, the hay, and spit out the sticks. We can't idolize teachers. I see this over and over again. I've actually had people get mad at me because I said a certain teacher preached something that wasn't the gospel, didn't line up with the grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they got mad at me. Well, I don't care what. He's changed my life. I don't care what he says. I'll never stop listening to him. And I wasn't talking about stop listening to him. I was just saying, watch out, because what you think about is what you become. And I tell you what, I lived way too long in guilt and condemnation. I lived way too long in self-effort and trying to be right before God in my own human ability. I lived way too long to ever go back there again. So can you see why it's important to guard our hearts? To watch what goes into our hearts. Watch what we're eating. Watch what we're thinking. You can hear something bad and you don't have to swallow it. The Bible calls that casting down vain imaginations. They're just imaginations of God. They're just imaginations of man and his relationship with God. They're vain. What you hear, what you watch, what you think. When's the last time you thought about that? When's the last time you looked at your diet, your spiritual diet? What are you hearing? What are you watching? What are you thinking? What you watch, what you hear, what you think upon, what you ponder is what you become. Spiritually, that's what you will be transformed into. And that's why even we got the youth, some of the youth up here today. You guys got to watch what you're listening to. The music you listen to, the movies that you watch. All of those things. I get so disgusted. You watch a stinking pizza commercial. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. And they're sitting, and it's these young 20-something kids, and they're sitting in a million-dollar home. And they're talking about making frozen pizza in the oven. I'm thinking, there's no way. What goes in the kids' minds when they think that life just happens? That success just happens. It doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes gumption and getting motivated and doing something. Like Chris said, if your goal is to hit zero, you can hit it every time. It's better to aim for the stars. And if you hit the moon, that's not bad. But the way that we think that the television shows, and I mean, our kids are... I'm getting off track. But I talked about this. There's this movie on Netflix, a series that was called 13 Reasons, and it was a letter that or something. I didn't even watch it, but I read about it, and I wouldn't let my kids watch it. And there's good reason, because the school actually issued a statement saying not to let your kids watch it because there was a bunch of copycats on it. And it was a story about 13 reasons this girl committed suicide. And if a person is already having the wrong type of thoughts, and they just feed on more of those thoughts, it'll kill you. Thoughts kill you. What you watch, what you hear, the enemy is so subtle. He's so subtle. You might not think it's a big deal, but if it's laced with doubt, if it's laced with unbelief, you might be watching the History Channel, and they're doing a series on the Bible. But it's filled with doubt, unbelief, and it seems like they're trying to prove the Bible wrong and make you a skeptic more than it is bringing faith in you. Turn the thing off. They've been trying to do that for 2,000 years. And if they haven't been able to prove the Bible is wrong in 2,000 years, they're not going to do it. And it's interesting, the more archaeological finds they get, the more evidence that they find, it actually proves the Bible right. And I can just look at people that are Christ-centered, not Christians, Christ-centered people, and look at their lives compared to those that aren't Christians. I'll take the Christ-centered person anytime. Teach me your ways. The enemy is subtle, and if it's in doubt, unbelief, if it's anti-grace, anti-faith, anti-Christ, spit it out. You're thinking, no, it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt me, Chad. Yes, it does. It hurts you. You're feeding on it. It's poison. See, it's foolish to eat a carrot stick and then have 4 pieces of cake and a half gallon of ice cream and say, you know what? I'm eating healthy because I had a carrot stick. That's foolish. And that's what we think. We can show up on Sunday morning and have a carrot stick and then go live on Twinkies for the rest of the week. This is not a church where I'm trying to get you dependent on me. I know that's bad business. I know it's better business to try to get everybody dependent on me so they got to come back and get their spiritual fix. No, I want you dependent on God. I want you dependent on the Spirit that lives within you. I want you dependent on the Word of God. I want you dependent on yourself. I want you to eat for yourself. I want you to become teachers. I want you to feed others. I know we're going long. Too bad. I'm not going to apologize. We're pretty close. People listen to a few minutes of the Word of God and then spend hours upon hours watching, reading, and listening to junk and wonder why they are not growing spiritually. Why they are weak. Why they don't see results. See, what I'm not saying is that you can't watch or listen or read anything. I'm not saying you shouldn't never go to the movies. I enjoy movies. Lately, most of the movies that have come out are boring because it's all about just action. There's no story anymore, and all they're doing is retelling stories that they told 100 times already. And so that's a great opportunity for those that are called to the entertainment mountain to get in there and bring some real stories, because we got the best story ever, that of a lover chasing after his wife that was stolen by an enemy, to where he's willing to lay down his life to get to win her back. But I like movies. I like music. I like entertaining type things. I'm not saying that you can never watch a movie, that you can never go. But if, because some people are that way with their physical diet, that they'll tell people, they become drill sergeants. Oh, you should never eat sugar. You should never have a Coke. You should never do this, never do that. If that's the way you want to live, that's fine. But you'd have to leave this earth if you wanted to avoid everything that is not of God. You couldn't drive down the road and see a billboard without having doubt, unbelief, and the things of the world come into your mind. You'd have to leave this world. What I'm saying is that it just can't become your main diet. You can't eat pie all the time. You can't drink Cokes every day. It can't become your main diet. And for most of us, the things of God are not our main diet. They're not the main diet of our inner man. They're not the main diet of our hearts. The spiritual level. Have you ever heard of someone talk about the subconscious mind? The subconscious mind. Well, that's on the subconscious level. This is just man's attempt to explain the spirit. It's on the spiritual level. Subconsciously, you are constantly taking in information. Your mind is thinking thoughts. You are interpreting the world around you. And subconsciously, it's just going constantly. And you can affect your spirit subconsciously. You can go into an atmosphere, and it can affect you subconsciously. They've done tests. They've done tests of individuals that nothing was wrong with them. And they had a room with 10 people in it. These are, I think it was Stanford University, did a test. And they had individuals that they would say that they were happy. And they put them in a room with individuals that were depressed, that was in depression. And when they brought them out of the room after so much time, they couldn't talk with one another. They just sat in the room together. And when they brought them out of that room, they retested them, and every single person in there was more depressed when they went than when they went in. There's an atmosphere, the dominant force in that atmosphere. Do you know that people can get around you and feel joy? You know people can get around you and feel encouraged? You know people can get around you and come out of depression? If your atmosphere is more dominant than another person's atmosphere? You know, there's a town, Manitou Springs in Colorado. When we visited there, we showed up there, and we got out of the car, started walking down the street. I said, told Amanda, this town is neat. This is a cool town. We got about a block farther, and I said, there's something wrong with this town. There's something wrong here. And what it is, it's, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like a place where a bunch of runaways came. And lots of new age. This is where we went and we had lunch and got invited to join a commune with the 12 tribes of Israel. It was crazy. But when Lana and Chris was out there, I was talking to them. They went and checked out Manitou Springs, and I said, and he texted me and said, this is a neat town. And I said, just wait. And he says, this is a creepy town. Because it affects you spiritually, subconsciously. Subconscious. Your subconscious is your spirit man. It's your inner man, and it can discern good and evil. I'm not saying that those people were evil, but they were lost. And there was a lot of weird stuff that happened there. There are things that can happen that can affect you spiritually without you even knowing it. Without you even knowing it. You can read the Bible. And some of you, I've heard you say it. I read the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. I don't understand it. You know what? That's all right. Because it's feeding in you spiritually. Subconsciously, you are getting something out of it. And the more that you eat it, the more revelation will come to you from eating it. Another thing, and I know this isn't, most people don't like talking about this stuff, but praying in the Spirit is this way. Praying in the Spirit is this way. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Listen to this. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. So, if someone's speaking in a tongue, who's he talking to? To you or to God? The Bible says God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. It goes on in verse 4, it says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does edify mean? It means to build oneself up. But one who prophesies edifies the church. So if you want to edify the church, you shouldn't speak in tongues to them, should you? You do that at home, so you're edified, so you can prophesy. Prophesy, give a word of encouragement to edify, to build up. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You can build yourself up, even if you don't know what you're saying, on the subconscious level, on the spiritual level, you can edify yourself, you can build yourself up within you by speaking the mysteries of God, speaking the words of God, even if you do not understand it. Some people are more picky on what they eat physically than what they eat spiritually. And everything is spiritual. You are a spirit. Do you know that? Everything is spiritual. What you watch on your TV, you are consuming spiritually. What you listen to on the radio, you are consuming spiritually. What you watch on the news, you are consuming spiritually. What you're reading on Facebook, you're consuming spiritually. What you watch on Instagram consumes you spiritually. You are consuming it, and what a man thinks in his heart is what he becomes. We are told to what? We are commanded to what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Eat your Bible. Nothing feeds your spirit more than your Bible. It's 100% nutrient-rich spiritual food. We don't read our Bible to make God like us. We don't read our Bible to make God happy. We don't read our Bible to be a good Christian. We read our Bible because it contains the words of life. It has no fillers, it has no contamination. And if we know this is true, if we know that it's true, if we know that the Bible contains the words of life, and as we've seen clearly shown that the words are containers that have nurturing food that builds us up strong in our hearts and our inner man. If we know that's true, then why do we struggle to eat? Why do we struggle to eat? Well, it goes back to being an infant. Infants would have a terrible diet if their parents let them eat whatever they wanted. And the same thing is as you mature, you realize you can't eat junk food all the time. You can't have a life of eating Twinkies and ding-dongs all the time. You realize that that's not to your best benefit. And sooner or later, the doctor will tell you. Babies would have a terrible diet if they ate whatever they want. You have to train yourself to eat what is good for you and spit out what is evil. You have to train yourself. This is for your benefit. The effects of thoughts on the human body. Do you know your thoughts affect your human body? What you think affects your body. I remember me and Amanda, we were hiking along Lake Superior shoreline, Pitcherlack shoreline. It was just a day hike, and we were coming. It was just beautiful scenery, and it was gorgeous. And all of a sudden, we were hiking along the shoreline, right, you know, cliffs. And all of a sudden, we got hit with an odor that took 2 days to wash out of your nostrils. It just smelled like death. It was disgusting. It almost made you want to start dry heaving. And as we got closer and closer down the trail, we looked over this cliff, and there was a dead deer. There was a buck. And it was decaying down there and rotting. And the odor was just terrible. See, I can tell by the looks on your guys' face that thoughts affect you. As I was telling that story, some of you might have even thought you smelled it. You know, you can read a story and become scared. You know, you can read a story and all of a sudden you're scared. Thoughts affect your physical body. When you think about cooking and fresh baked cookies, and you know, when you walk in the door and you can smell that the wife or husband, whoever does the baking, grandma, she made cookies and there's that odor. Or steaks on the grill, you can barbecue. If you think about something enough, your mouth will start watering. It affects you. It affects you. It affects your body. It affects you physically. They have the power to change chemicals released in your body just the way you think. The way you think. You know, if I was to grab the microphone and ask you to come up and speak, some of you would. You haven't even had to speak yet, and you've become so nervous and so afraid, and you're not even doing the act. Think about jumping out of an airplane. You're going to go parachuting, skydiving. You're going to jump out of the airplane. There's a little bit of excitement in you, but all of a sudden there's a lot of fear in you. And you're worried, and the night before you're laying in bed, and you're thinking, well, what happens if this is wrong? Am I making a stupid mistake? Should I not do this? And you're afraid, and you don't get any sleep the night before. And then you get to the airport, and man, you're pacing back and forth, and you're thinking, man, I don't know if I want to do this. My buddies are going to do it, but I don't know if I want to do it, because what happens if the parachute doesn't open? And then you're in the airplane, and you are terrified, and they get you to the doorway, and they count to, and you can't even scream because the fear is so tense. And then they count to one, two, and then they push you. Because on three, most people grab onto the doors and won't go. And then you're falling. And all of a sudden, the fear leaves. And it's exciting. And you're saying, this is awesome. And most people have the professional on their backs, and they're going down, and all of a sudden the parachute goes up, and you're coming down, and this is awesome. Why is it when it was the most dangerous? It wasn't dangerous in your bed. It wasn't dangerous at the airport. It wasn't dangerous when you were in the airplane. It wasn't even dangerous when you were standing in the doorway. The most dangerous part of the whole situation was when you were in the air falling and in the parachute, and all fear leaves. Think about that. Some of us allow thoughts to torment us. And they can't do nothing. Nothing's going to happen to you as you're laying in bed. And most of the time when we get to the experience that we were so afraid of, we think, well, that wasn't bad. Thoughts control you. When you're uncomfortable, man, it's humid. Oh, it's so humid. It's so hot. When you think that way, what happens? It just gets more miserable. The more you talk about the issue that makes you uncomfortable, the more uncomfortable you become. It's because of the way a man thinks. And God's words contains God's thoughts. They'll change you. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. Romans 8:6 says, For a mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind that's set on the Spirit is life and peace. You are tasting, you are feeding on death or life all the time. All the time. There's never a time where it's not death or life. If you are eating Jesus' words, you will be tasting life all the time. If you're filtering the outside world through Jesus, you will be tasting life all the time. God has spoken to me through secular movies. The Truman Show was huge in my life. God wrecked me in that movie. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep tasting perfect peace when you continually eat the thoughts of God. I'm sorry that we're going a little long, but this will change your life. You want peace in your life? You will keep him in perfect peace as you continue. You'll keep tasting perfect peace as long as your thoughts are the thoughts of God. If you continue eating his thoughts. Words are containers of thoughts. Watch that you don't eat the wrong thing. In closing, Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What does it mean to dwell? It means live there. Live on those things. Dwell in those things. What have you been eating? Has it been thoughts of life? Have it been thoughts of blessing? Thoughts of strength and health? Don't think about dying. Don't think about getting worse. Don't think about how you're going to adapt to your situation or your condition. You may have a financial issue. Well, I guess this is just where we live now. No! Believe God. Don't adapt. Trust, believe, think on God's thoughts for your life. Don't think about the doctor's report. Don't think. Stay in perfect peace. Think God's thoughts. Don't think about the big need. And don't say you can't, because you can. You can. God won't tell you to do something that you can't do. You can think God's thoughts. You can eat God's thoughts. You can meditate on God's thoughts. Keep stayed on Him. Keep tasting of His goodness. And He will keep you in His perfect peace. Amen. We're talking about strengthening our hearts. We're talking about strengthening the inner man. And this is how we do it. In your spirit, you are just like Jesus. But in your mind, your will, your emotions, it needs to be transformed. It needs to be renewed to think just like Jesus, to believe who you are in Christ Jesus. And when your thinking, your soul starts thinking the same way that your spirit is, you become strong. You become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen?
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.